Welcome to Science TLDR. We're here to, really get into the details of key research. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a really interesting paper by Saito and colleagues. It's titled, Bispecific Antibody Antigen Complex Structures Reveal Activity Enhancement by Domain Rearrangement. Just came out in Cell Reports, July 22, 2025. And this isn't just incremental stuff. It really hits on optimizing modern cancer therapies, specifically these things called bispecific antibodies, or BSABs. The big question they tackle, the mystery we're digging into, is kind of fascinating. How can two versions of basically the same antibody, both designed to link cancer cells and T cells, have such a massive difference in how well they work? We're talking like over 100 times difference in anti-cancer activity, which is wild, especially when, their basic ability to bind their targets when tested separately looks almost the same. It really makes you wonder about drug design.
It really does. And our mission today is to explore how the researchers used cryo-electron microscopy, cryo-EM, which is just a fantastic tool for seeing molecules up close. To figure out the structural reasons behind this huge activity gap, we're going to see how tiny changes in how a molecule is built can have these, well, profound effects on how well a drug actually works in the body.
Okay, so let's set the stage. Mm-hmm. Bispecific antibodies, BSABs, what are they fundamentally?
Right. So think of them as engineered antibodies. Instead of binding just one target like a normal antibody, they're designed to grab onto two different things simultaneously.
Two targets at once.
Exactly. And that makes them incredibly powerful tools, especially, like you said, in cancer therapy, where you might want to, say, connect an immune cell to a tumor cell.
Kind of like molecular matchmaking.
That's a good way to put it. And within BSABs, there's this format called the diabody, which is relevant here. It's smaller, more compact than a full antibody.
The advantages there.
Yeah, potentially better at getting into tissues, maybe easier to produce, and generally simpler to engineer in some ways.
Got it. So this paper focuses on one specific diabody.
Yes, one called X3. It's built from parts of two different antibodies. One part, called 528FFV, targets EGFR, that's epidermal growth factor receptor.
Often found on cancer cells.
Right. And the other part, OKT3FV, targets CD3, which is a key molecule on our T cells, the immune cells that can kill cancer.
So XD is the bridge.
Precisely. It grabs the cancer cell with one arm, grabs the T cell with the other, pulls them together, and tells the T cell essentially, attack this. It induces cytotoxicity.
Okay, now here's the twist you mentioned. This XD3 isn't just one thing. There are two main versions based on domain order.
That's right. They call them the LH type, XA3LH, and the HL type, X3HL. It refers to how the small bits, the variable light, VL, and variable heavy, VH chains are linked together.
And the functional differences. Huge.
Astonishingly so. X3LH shows more than 100-fold greater anti-cancer activity than X3HL in lab tests.
Wow. Okay. But you said they're binding to soluble targets like EGFR and CD3 floating freely, not on cells, was similar.
Pretty much, according to earlier reports. Which leads to the core question. If the basic binding is okay, what the heck is happening when these antibodies trying to bridge actual cells? The cell surface is way more complex.
That's the puzzle they tackled with cryo-EM.
Exactly. They managed to get high-resolution 3D structures of both X3HL and X3LH while they were bound to both targets at the same time. So the antibody holding on to soluble EGFR, SEGFR, and the CD3 gamma epsilon part CD3 lape. That's the ternary complex.
And the resolution was good.
Very good. 3.64 angstroms for HL, and even better, 3.29 angstroms for LH. We're talking near atomic level detail here. An angstrom is tiny, a 10 billionth of a meter.
And this is the first time seeing this kind of simultaneous binding structurally for an anti-cancer beta.
Correct. A real first. It gives us the molecular blueprint of the working complex.
So what did the structures show? Were they different?
They were. Both had this kind of overall arcuate shape, like a slight curve or bow. But critically, how the EGFR binding arm and the CD3 binding arm were positioned relative to each other was, as the authors put it, totally different. It resulted in an inverse curve between them. Just swapping the order of those VL and VH domains dramatically changed the overall posture of the molecule when bound to both targets.
Okay, so this domain rearrangement, the LH versus HL order, is the key. How does that simple swap change the shape so much?
It's all about how the chains are connected by linkers. Mm-hmm. Think of maybe like two segments of a fishing rod connected by flexible joints.
Okay.
If you connect segment A to segment B versus segment B to segment A, even if the segments themselves are the same, the overall way the rod can bend and the angles it forms will be different.
Right. The connections dictate the overall geometry.
Exactly. And it wasn't just one fixed shape difference. They also saw, using sophisticated analysis of the cryo-EM data, what they called substantial open-closed flexibility in the binding arms.
So they're not rigid, they wiggle.
They have some dynamic movement, like hinges. But the way they prefer to wiggle and the overall shape they adopt are dictated by that initial LH or HL arrangement.
Okay, so different shapes, different flexibility. How does that translate to the huge activity difference on actual cells?
This is the crucial connection. The structures allowed them to model or predict how these antibodies would likely sit when bound to a cancer cell membrane or a T cell membrane. Now, when either type binds to EGFR on a cancer cell, the other arm, the CD3 binding arm, generally points outwards. That's good. It can reach out and grab a T cell.
Okay, so far so good for both.
Yes, but the situation flips when they bind to CD3 on a T cell first. This is where the structures revealed the critical difference. For the highly active LH type, when it binds CD3 on the T cell, its other arm, the EGFR binding arm, 528FE, points pretty much vertically away from the T-cell surface, ready to grab a cancer cell.
Makes sense. And the HL type?
The HL type's EGFR binding arm points more horizontally, almost parallel to the T-cell membrane.
And that's bad because...
Because it leads to steric hindrance. The EGFR target on the approaching cancer cell physically bumps into the T-cell's own membrane before the antibody arm can properly engage it.
So it's like trying to dock something, but the angle's wrong and you just hit the pier.
Exactly. The T-cell membrane itself gets in the way, preventing the HL type from effectively forming that bridge when it initiates binding from the T-cell side. The LH type avoids this clash because of its vertical orientation.
And does other experimental data back this up?
It does, beautifully. The paper mentions previous flow cytometry work. That showed soluble EGFR could bind to X3LH already attached to T cells.
Okay.
But it could not bind to X3HL attached to T cells, just like the structures predict.
Wow. Direct confirmation.
Yeah. And also, atomic force microscopy, AFM, had previously measured the force needed to pull the bridge cells apart. It took significantly more force for X3LH.
Indicating a stronger, more stable bridge.
Precisely. So the bottom line is, X3LH's structure gives it a favorable bridging angle that avoids the steric clash, allowing it to efficiently link the cells regardless of which cell it binds first. X3HL is severely hampered, explaining its much lower activity.
It's all about the geometry of the cell surface.
It really highlights a key design principle for BSABs. It's not just about affinity, it's about the angle and distance between the targets when the bridge is formed.
Could you just make the linkers longer to avoid the clash?
You might think so, but the paper notes it's tricky. Excessively long linkers can sometimes decrease activity, maybe by making the bridge too floppy or increasing the distance too much. It's a balance. The goal seems to be enabling bridging at the shortest possible distance, but with the optimal angle to avoid steric problems. It's quite elegant, really.
Okay, beyond the bridging, did the structures tell us anything else? You mentioned EGFR binding.
Yes, they did some focused analysis called local refinement on just the EGFR binding part. This gave them even higher resolution, down to like 2.93 angstroms for the LH type. And with that detail, they could map out precisely which amino acids on EGFR interact with which amino acids on the 528FE arm of the antibody, like seeing the exact handshake.
Why is that level of detail important?
Well, it has potentially huge implications for drug resistance.
Think about cetuximab. It's a common antibody drug targeting EGFR.
Right, but resistance develops, cancer cells mutate EGFR.
Exactly. And what this paper found was really exciting. The specific spot on EGFR that 528FE binds to its epitope is slightly different from where cetuximab binds.
A different landing spot.
Partially overlapping, but crucially different. They tested this using another technique, BLI. Cetuximab completely failed to bind several known EGFR mutants that cause resistance in patients.
And 528FE?
528FE is still bound to all of those resistant mutants?
Because the mutations that stop cetuximab from binding are right in its landing zone, but they don't significantly affect the slightly different landing zone used by 528FE.
So for you listening, especially if you're in oncology or drug development, this is potentially huge. It means an XX3 antibody built with this 528FE might actually work in patients who've become resistant to cetuximab.
It opens up a potential new therapeutic avenue based directly on understanding these subtle structural differences. It's a great example of structure guiding function.
Now, in the spirit of good science, we should talk limitations.
Absolutely, it's crucial. While these structures provide a really strong rational explanation, they are static snapshots. And they use soluble proteins, not actual cells, with all their complexity.
Right. The cell surface is a crowded, dynamic place.
Indeed. So future work is needed. Things like maybe cryo-electron tomography to try and see the bridging happening directly on cells, or studying other BS abs structurally. It's a big step, but not the final word.
Understood. Science is iterative. But still, a major advance in understanding how these molecules work.
Definitely. A significant leap forward for rational BSAB design.
Okay, let's wrap up with the key takeaways from the results. What are the big 3 points for you?
All right. First, the structural revelation. Using cryo-EM, they solved the 3D structures of both X3 versions bound to both targets simultaneously. A first for this kind of anti-cancer BSAB, we saw that arcuate shape and the inverse curve, showing how domain order fundamentally dictates the molecule's posture.
Got it. Structure revealed. Second.
Second, the functional mechanism, that huge 100-fold activity difference. It boils down to the bridging angle at the cell surface, which is determined by that domain order. The LH version structure lets it avoid steric hindrance with the cell membrane, making it a much more efficient cell linker and T-cell activator. Geometry is function here.
Makes perfect sense. And the third takeaway.
Third, the clinical potential. The EGFR binding arm, 528FV, hits a slightly different spot on EGFR compared to cetuximab. Crucially, this means it retains binding to several EGFR mutants that cause cetuximab resistance. This offers real promise for developing therapies for patients with resistant tumors.
Structure, mechanism, and clinical relevance. Fantastic.
Which leads to a really interesting thought looking forward. Considering how much these subtle structural changes matter, how might AI, things like AlphaFold and other predictive algorithms, change the game? Could we soon design highly effective bispecifics computationally from the start? Optimizing those bridging angles, avoiding steric hindrances, all before we even synthesize the molecule in the lab.
A fascinating question about the future of drug design. Using AI to predict not just structure, but optimal functional structure. Definitely something to think about. Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thank you for joining us as we explored the structural secrets of bispecific antibody activity. Keep questioning, keep exploring.